Would you take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 5 with me, please? Luke 5. We are bringing our life testimony tonight. You know, really, you don't know a person till you know the background of their lives, of why I speak like I do and why my life is lived as it is. You don't know that until someone just opens and reveals their life to you. I'm very, very careful how I do this. We are here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me? John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. The testimony is to show you what a great Savior can do regardless of what kind of background you are raised in. And I'm going to show you what God did in my life, my home in West Virginia. Would you all stand, please? Look at Luke 5. And listen to the words of Christ in Luke 5:32. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Our dear Father, tonight, as we give the testimony, we do pray, Father, you would be honored by it. We'll honor and exalt and magnify the Savior and what he's done for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. I was brought up in a small town called Arford, West Virginia. We live so far back in the country that the road ends right in front of our house. The man who owns the place wrote to me many years ago and said, Jerry, I wonder how God ever found you to call you to preach. But regardless of who you are and where you live, God knows and God sees you. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Psalm 137:9-10 says, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost parts of the earth, even thy right hand shall hold me. So God knows you, and God sees our life. And I want to show you how the Lord saw our home in West Virginia. To do so, I want to show you the first major problem we had, and that is alcohol. Proverbs 20:1 says, Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby, is not wise. When the Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, the Bible means exactly what it says. And I'm going to show you how it made a mockery of my home. My grandfather, Savinsky, was born in Moscow. My grandmother, Savinsky, whose maiden name was Fatinovich, was born in Austria. They came to America, they settled in West Virginia, and my grandfather, one night, was drinking and gambling, and at the close, they robbed my grandfather. They then knocked him out, laid his body across the railroad tracks in such a position that when the train ran over his body, the train cut off both of his arms and both of his legs. And my grandpa Savinsky bled to death 2 miles from my home. My father was a man who never drank until he was 25 years of age. And one day, my dad's best friend, Johnny, came to our home. And he said to my father, he said, Mike, I want you to take one small glass of wine. My dad said, No, Johnny, I don't drink. But Johnny said, Come on, Mike. Just take one small glass of wine. And my dad said, Okay, Johnny, I'll take one small glass. And my father told me these exact words. He said, Jerry, when I took the first glass of wine to my lips, it tasted so good. I said, Johnny, give me another glass. And my father took another glass and then another glass until my father became a very heavy drinker. And from the time I was a small boy until I was 17 years of age, I saw the reality of alcohol in our home and the impact upon our lives. You see, my godfather Jack gave me wine to drink when I was 7 years of age. My grandparents gave me beer, whiskey, and wine to drink when I was a teenager. My father himself gave me vodka and golden gin to drink when I was 17 years of age. Is it any wonder my younger brother Dennis was a drunk? And my older brother today still drinks? And by the grace of God, I stand here. I could have gone in the same direction as my brothers. And how alcohol is raging in America. Did you know it's the number one problem of the American home? More people are killed on the highway every year as a result of alcohol than any other means. And alcohol is literally destroying our nation. Someone wrote the drunkard's 23rd Psalm. Listen to it, please. King alcohol is my shepherd, and I shall want, and I mean want, thou makest me to lie down in mud holes. Thou turnest my automobile upside down. Thou preparest an empty table in the presence of my family. Thou anointest my body with wounds, bruises, and sores. Surely sorrow and grief shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the doomed for eternity. When the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible means exactly what it states. But then second of all, we had another major problem in our home, and that's religion. My father had 14 brothers and sisters, and my dad's entire family, his entire side, were Roman Catholics. My mother had 3 sisters. My mother's side, they were all Roman Catholics. I was baptized a Roman Catholic. I crossed myself, and I prayed every night as a Roman Catholic. And one day, one of my Roman Catholic cousins, her husband got saved. And when he got saved, my people began to criticize him. They said, "Have you heard what happened to Forrest?" And I said, "No, what happened to Forrest?" And they said, "He's gone crazy over religion." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "He stopped drinking." I said, "No." They said, "Yes, he stopped smoking." I said, "Are you serious?" They said, "Yeah, you won't believe this, Jerry. He stopped chewing Red Man tobacco. Every man chewed Red Man tobacco." He said, "He's gone crazy over religion." Well, I love my cousin Forrest. And so one day, he came to my home. And he said, "Jerry, I'd like to take you to church with me this coming Sunday." And so I said, "Where are we going to go?" Because I thought he was going to take me to the Catholic Church. I said, "Where are we going to go, Forrest?" He said, "Well, Jerry, I'm going to take you to a Baptist church." I was 17 years of age. I never heard the word Baptist in my life. I turned to him and said, "Well, what is a Baptist church like?" He said, "Oh, Jerry, it's a little different than the Catholic Church." This is really an understatement, my friend. And so I said, "Okay, I'll go." And so I'll never forget when I walked in this Baptist church for the first time, everything bothered me. You see, in my church, I would go, and first thing I would do, I would kneel. I would cross myself. I'd get back up. I would go to my pew, keep my eyes on the priest, keep my eyes on the choir, keep my eyes back on the priest. Everything was very quiet and very formal. I walked in that Baptist church. I never heard so much noise in my entire life. People were talking. People were scuffing their feet on the ground. Others blowing their nose in church. And I'll tell you right now, it bothered me. And it'll bother you too if you're raised in a very ritualistic and quiet service. Everything bothered me until the man of God stood up to preach. Because when he began to preach, he preached in English. And I never heard the Bible preached in English in the Catholic Church. And I sat there, 17 years of age, and God began to stir my heart. I did not know the Bible. I did not know that God loved me. I didn't know Christ died for my sins. I never heard that. And so I ran home. I ran in the house. I said, Mom, you got to go to that Baptist church. Mom, that man speaks in English. Mom, you got to go. Mom, that's okay. I'll go next Sunday. Well, my mother was never in the Baptist church in her life. And so Mom and I go the next Sunday. And when the man of God began to preach, I did not look at the preacher. I looked at my mom. I wanted to see how she would respond. And when the man began to preach, my mother was on the very edge of the chair. For the first time, she was hearing the word of God preached. We got in the car to go home. My mother turned to me and she said, Jerry, do you think we ought to go back to that Baptist church next Sunday? I said, Mom, I think we ought to go back. What do you think? She said, yes, I think we ought to go back next Sunday. Next Sunday, a blizzard hit West Virginia. We had 2 feet of snow. By the way, our road is so bad. I mean, we got ruts this deep. It's a coal road. My wife says it's the worst road in America, okay? And here we are, Roman Catholics, going through a blizzard, 2 feet of snow, to a Baptist church. And while we're going up the road, my mother turned to me and she said these exact words. She said, Jerry, do you think I should go forward today and get saved? And here I am. I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I turned to my mom. I said, Mom, I believe you ought to go forward and get saved. And guess what? My mother got saved because of my encouragement. And I really was a soul winner before God even saved me. That's the truth. Well, when I got home, my mother, the next morning I woke up and I heard something strange in our house. I heard singing. I never heard singing in my entire life in my house. Never. And I said, who on earth is in our house singing? And I rushed in the kitchen. It was my mom. My mom was singing. You know what? The very first message I preached, it was entitled, It's Real. You see, my mother had one of the filthiest cursing mouths that you can imagine. My mother worked as a bar lady in a tavern. And my mother had this filthy cursing mouth. And the very first message I ever preached was entitled, It's Real. By the way, let me tell you what I did. Since I was the fastest typist in the high school, what I did, I got the typewriter out, and I typed this message out word for word. It was 6 pages long on both sides, single-spaced, okay? And when I stood up to preach my first sermon, it lasted 5 minutes. So really, I have come a long way since then. I really have. It is real. I saw the change. He can do it. It's real. Christ can save you. And so the next Sunday, Mom and I go to church. I'm under conviction. Therefore, I sat way in the back of the church. My dear Mom sat way in front of the church. We stood to give the invitation. And I stood. And everyone stood. And my mother turned around, looked at me in front of this congregation, and Mom went like this toward me. I looked at Mom, and I went, and Mom got real furious, and she went, she wanted to go down the aisle. You know what? I want to go down the aisle. But I stuttered. I was shy. I'd never speak in public. But that night, I got on my knees, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Dear God, next Sunday, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to find out how to be saved. Interesting, isn't it? I was baptized. I crossed myself. I prayed every night. I realized I was lost. I would to God tonight, if you're religious, you'd recognize you're lost. You don't need religion. You need God's Son. You need to come to Christ. So the next Sunday, I go to church. And that night, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And when I got saved, I ran through the snow. And for the first time in my life, you see, my dad was a bouncer in the tavern. My dad's a coal miner. And I ran to my dad's bedroom door. And I knocked as hard as I could on the door. And I scared my father so badly, he jumped this high out of bed. I screamed. I said, "Dad, Dad, I got to tell you something." And Dad said, "Well, what is it, Jerry?" I said, "Dad, I got saved tonight." My father looked at me like I was a nut. He rolled right back over and went to sleep. Well, every night when my dad came home from the coal mines, my dad came walking through the front yard like this. Every night, my dad was drunk. So he sat down at the table to eat supper. And for the first time in my life, I even dared to do this. You see, Dad was my hero. I love my dad. He was the greatest hunter in West Virginia, North Central Park. He was the greatest fisherman. He was the greatest swimmer. My dad was way up here in my life. And my dad sat down to eat supper. And I stood on the other side of the table. And I pointed my finger at my dad's face. And I said, "Dad, look at me." Now, often I'll tell you students, "Look at me." You know where I get that from? I get that from my dad. So look at me. I said, "Dad, look at me." And my dad said, "What is it, Jerry?" And I said, "Dad, you need to get saved." My dad said, "No, I don't." I said, "Yes, you do, Dad." He said, "No, I don't." I said, "Dad, you need to get saved." You know what I did? I did everything you are not supposed to do to win a man to Jesus Christ. I was shaking the table. My dad's coffee was slopping out of the cup and everything else. But I didn't want my dad to die and go to hell. And my father saw the great change in my life. Look, I had three brothers. I got more beatings than both brothers combined together. One night, I'm preaching a revival meeting in West Virginia. My mom and dad were in the second row. And I said to the congregation, "Before God saved me, I got more beatings than both of my brothers combined together." If you don't believe that, ask my mom and dad at the close of this meeting. At the close of the meeting, a lady walked after my mother and my dad and said, "Jerry wasn't as bad as he says he was he?" And my mother and dad, you would have thought they rehearsed this. They looked at that lady and said, "Lady, he was a lot worse." I had this violent temper, this uncontrollable temper. And my dad saw a change in my life. And we asked Dad, "Would you go to church?" My dad said, "Okay, I'll go one Sunday." So my dad got his old black suit out he always wore to a funeral. And that morning, our church was starting a revival meeting. And the man of God began to preach. And when that man gave the invitation, the first man down the aisle was my dad, Mike Savinsky. And the whole church began to weep. I mean, the whole church began to weep. You know why? They knew my dad's life. But I wondered, could God save a man like my dad? You see, Dad drank moonshine. I knew where Dad hid the moonshine. My father drank vodka and golden gin every week. I said, "We'll know if Dad got saved by the way he walks tomorrow night." So I stood at the window over 30 minutes before my dad was to come home. I'm waiting for the truck to come down the road. And I saw the truck coming down the road. And I screamed at my mom. I said, "Mom, Dad's coming. Go to the other window." My mother rushed to the other window. My dad pulled up the truck. He got out. He began to walk around the side of the garage. And when he did, he was walking like this. My dad was sober. He sat down to eat supper, and when he did, I sat on one side of the table like this, and I was just staring at my father like that. My mother sat on the other side of the table, and she was almost in a trance. She was staring at her husband. And my dad stopped eating, And he first of all turned to me and said, Jerry, is something wrong? I said, no, Dad. But he was sober, and I couldn't take my eyes off of him. My mother's eyes were full of tears. And he turned to my mom and said, honey, is something wrong? My mother couldn't even speak. She shook her head like this. And then my dad said these exact words. He turned to my mom and said, honey, would you bring me your Bible? I never saw my dad hold the Bible in my entire life. I saw the bottle. Oh, I saw that all the time. I never saw the Bible in my dad's hand. My father only had a sixth grade education. My dad opened the Bible to the Gospel of John. He began to read the Gospel of John. We sat there and held on to every word as my dad read. And then we stopped. He closed the Bible and said to me and my mom, would you mind if I prayed? And my dad began to pray. I had a lump as big as my fist in my throat. Floods of tears were going down mom's face. My dad got saved. My dad became a bus worker on our church in West Virginia. I would call my dad every week of my life. Every week I called my dad would say, Jerry, are you seeing people saved? Son, I'm praying for you. My dad's in heaven. My mom's in heaven. I thank God to see what he did, and I've never gotten over it. But what about my brothers? What about me, my younger brother Dennis and Mike? I've claimed the verse for God to save them. I'm claiming 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So my brother Dennis lived in Pennsylvania, and I would call him, or he would call me. And he'd always call me collect. And he always called me 2 or 3 o'clock Saturday or Sunday morning. He was always drunk. I never raised my voice once to Dennis. I always said, Dennis, I love you. I'm praying for God to save you. Dennis, you call me. You call me anytime. He would always call me, collect, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday and Sunday. Minutes ago, I was talking with Dr. Bob Jordan, who was a very dear friend of mine. And Dr. Bob Jordan, I said, Dr. Jordan, listen, I've got an unsaved brother up in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Would you send someone up there, go and talk to my brother Dennis? He's your brother Jerry. We'll do that for you. Well, that summer, I was home in South Carolina, and I was walking through the house, and my wife, we were busy doing things, and the phone rang. And I rushed to the phone. I picked the phone up. I said, hello? And the person said, hello? Who is this? I said, well, this is Jerry Savinsky. Who's calling? He said, Jerry, this is your brother Dennis. He didn't call me collect. He was sober. I said, Dennis, why are you calling me? He said, Jerry, you know that preacher you sent by to see me? I said, yes. He said, he just left my house. He just led me to Jesus Christ. I want to call you and tell you I just got saved. That summer, my brother and I sat down and talked together. And my brother said, Jerry, I was drinking a half a gallon of whiskey a day. Only God could have saved me. My brother died. Well, I thank God. I showed love and compassion. What about my older brother, Mike? Still unsaved. But I'm not giving up on him. And I pray to God you won't either. If you're unsaved tonight, my friend, I will say this to you in closing. What a Savior. Regardless of how deep, how wide you've gone in sin, he can save you. He can transform you by the power of Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He'll change your life if you come to him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Tonight, I want to have Brother Peter play a song, Amazing Grace, which I think is appropriate. in the night, you may not have been raised like I've been raised. I pray to God you have not had the horror of alcohol that I experienced and all the fighting. And there's things I've never even told my wife that went on in our home. It would have never happened. But it happened because of alcohol. Is your brother Jerry tonight? I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'd love to have Christ transform my life. If he can do that, as he begins playing the song Amazing Grace, would you quietly raise your hand in the air right now and say, yes, I want to yield to Christ. Let Christ save me. Now, I thank God a couple nights ago, a young man was saved at the close of the meeting. And young man, whoever you are, I'd love to encourage you to come forward tonight and make that public. You'll not make a speech or anything. You just come down here and thank the Lord that you got saved. Make it public, all right? As a child of God, you say, Brother Jerry, I was not raised like you, but I've got loved ones without Christ. And I'd love to see them saved. I want you to pray for God to help me to go and show them a Bible verse and say, I can't force you to be saved, but I'm praying for God to save you. Show them the love of Christ in your life. And that person that you so dearly love, the power of the gospel can break his heart. You say, Brother Jared, that is my heart desire. That's my craving. Would you raise your hand in the air to your Lord at this time? Would you quickly raise your hands? Many of you, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, students, perhaps there's someone here tonight, you're already saved, but you're backslidden. And I'm going to tell you tonight, why don't you come back where you belong? Get right with God. Start living for him like you used to. If that's your need tonight, would you raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Would you pray for me? Okay, God bless you. And God bless you. Yes, God bless many of you. God bless you. Put your hands back down. Our dear Father, may the Holy Spirit now take the testimony. May you, Father, save souls. May God, we see people in heaven because of what you've done in the hearts of thy people. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Would you all look here, please? I'm going to have Brother Brown come and lead us in a song. Amazing Grace. Y'all know the song, but I'm going to have him lead it for us. I'd like to challenge you to do this. Challenge you to come and kneel at this altar. Maybe mention the name of that loved one or that friend and say, God, help me to go to them and show them a Bible verse. I'm praying, Lord, you'll give me the courage to do so. If you've been away from the Lord, you've been backslidden. And many of you raise your hands on that. Hey, come tonight. Have God restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Make public your faith in Christ, young man. Do that. If you're not saved, come. Let someone take the Bible and show you how Christ can save you. Let's all stand, please. Let's sing good loud. Amazing Grace. Would you make your way down the aisle as we sing it?